I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a few minutes, we will remember the renowned Mexican writer Carlos Fuentes. Our own Gustavo Arellano has reflections on his important legacy. But first,
May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. All this month, we are talking to people who trace their heritage to that part of the world and who are what we like to call game changers, people who have made a difference in various fields from politics to science to culture. Today, we have with us a man who has changed the game in entertainment and media. Yul Kwan was an unlikely reality television star. He was a Yale University-trained lawyer who put his career on hold to compete on the mega-hit CBS show Survivor. In 2006, he became the first Asian American to win the $1 million prize that eventually led to work as a special correspondent for CNN and the Discovery Channel. He currently hosts the news program Link Asia on Link TV, and Yul Kwan just wrapped a stint hosting the PBS documentary series America Revealed.
We're going to go on quite a journey, coast to coast, across this sprawling land to discover the habits, the rhythms, and the secrets that you only notice when you step back and see the big picture.
And the career picture for Yul Kwan has also included government. He once worked for U.S. Senator Joseph Lieberman at the Federal Communications Commission and lectured at the FBI Academy. And we cannot help but note that he was once named to People magazine's list of sexiest men alive. And Yul Kwan joins us now. Welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Michelle.
In order to talk about why you're a game changer, and we do need to go back a little bit to the beginning. And you've talked about the fact that bullying mm-hmm. is something that you experienced right. in part because of language issues. And it's kind of an interesting story that you tell. So do you mind telling that story about like why you think you were a target for bullying and what language
sure.
had to do with it?
Yeah, absolutely. My parents immigrated to the United States from South Korea back in 1970. I was born in New York in 1975. And, you know, growing up, I just didn't see a whole lot of people who looked like me in the media, in school. And when I was young, I also had a pretty severe lisp. So a lot of people just assumed that I was a foreigner and that I couldn't speak English or that my lisp was actually an accent. And over time, I became so self-conscious about it that I just became quieter and quieter because I didn't want to get made fun of or beat up. And it eventually got to be a real problem for me. I started developing a number of social anxiety disorders. There was one incident in particular when I was in elementary school that really had a very scarring effect on me for most of my life. Some of the older kids would hide in the bathroom, and when one of the smaller kids, including myself, would come in, they would jump them and they would beat them up. Some of these kids started doing this thing where they'd grab the kid and force him against a urinal, and the larger kids would come up and urinate on them. This went on for months, and I couldn't use the bathroom. And over time, I developed a condition known as paresis, which is shy bladder syndrome. And the fact was I just couldn't go to the bathroom when other people were around. Mm-hmm. And so over time, I essentially became a prisoner in my own home. I couldn't go to movies. I couldn't go to parties. I couldn't go to ball games. I couldn't even go shopping because I didn't know if I could use a bathroom. So this, progressed over time, and it took me many years to overcome some of these issues.
How did you finally figure all that out?
It took me a long time. Even through my early adulthood, I suffered from some of these issues. I also had something known as social sweating, where any time I felt like someone was looking at me, if I raised my hand in class, if I met someone new, I would have essentially a panic attack, and I would sweat uncontrollably. And I got so scared that this would happen and so embarrassed that I started avoiding people and stopped making eye contact. And it took me many years until I got over these issues. And, you know, I also think part of the reason why this happened was because, you know, as an ethnic minority in this country, I just didn't see a lot of role models from people of my community. I watched a lot of television when I was a kid, and, you know, my parents encouraged us because it was a way to learn English. But I never saw Asian Americans. And in the rare times that I did, they were usually portrayed according to these negative stereotypes. And I think
limited
time,
language skills, played for laughs.
Well, if you're a guy,
broken English.
Right, you're either a Chinese cook or a gangster or a kung fu master who could kick butt but can't speak English.
Can't speak English.
Or a geek who can't get a date. And so over time, I think I just internalized a lot of these images and I became that quintessential Asian nerd.
Well, you know, you obviously did very well. I mean, you graduated from Stanford and then Yale Law School and, you know, started doing kind of the traditional route. So I think for a lot of people, it would be very surprising that you then decided to go on a reality program. And as I understand it, though, your earlier history actually played some role in your wanting to do that. Can
yeah,
you talk
you know,
about that?
My parents, I thought, were going to disown me. Like, we came to this country to give you all these opportunities, put you all through these good, great schools, you have these good jobs, and, you know, why do you hate us so much? What do we do to you?
Then we want to take off your shirt and walk around in a bandana, you know, spearfishing. What's up with that?
You know, I never imagined I'd be on television. But one day I got an email out of the blue from someone who's a casting agent for Survivor, and they were looking for more Asian Americans to go on the show. They had a twist to that season, which was they were going to divide the contestants into racial tribes and have a war of the races. And so they recruited heavily, and they found me randomly through a friend of mine.
Well, how did you feel about that once you realized that part of the agenda was a war of the races?
I remember thinking to myself, you know, why would I, you know, throw away my career, right, just to embarrass myself and my family and Korean people all over the world by going on a silly reality show? But I thought about when I was a kid and the fact that I didn't see people who looked like me on television. And I thought that if I did see role models, that it might have helped me along, helped me build courage and confidence in myself, and at an earlier age, be able to see myself as someone who could become a leader. And the great thing about a reality show is that it's not scripted. So I don't have to play a stereotype. I don't have to play a role where I'm speaking with an accent. And so I thought if I did well on the show, I could potentially be the kind of role model that I didn't have when I was growing up.
And you won.
I did, yeah. I totally didn't expect that to happen.
Why do you think you won?
What I wanted to do was to play a game applying all the things I'd learned over the course of my life, working as a lawyer, working in politics, working as a management consultant, and to try to play a very intelligent game that didn't involve backstabbing people. And in my case, you know, I was able to create a multi-ethnic alliance from people from all the tribes, and we ultimately got to the end without stabbing each other in the back.
If you're just joining us, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're honoring Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month with game changer Yul Kwan. He is a lawyer and a television host who began his entertainment career by winning the reality show Survivor in 2006. After you won, presumably your parents felt a little better about your decision to to step away from your budding law career.
A little bit better. They still ask me when I'm going to go back to school and get my PhD. Like, I think that ship has already sailed. It was funny. My father was adamantly opposed to me going on the show. He just could not understand it and was very upset about it. And then it turns out that part of the reason that he was opposed to it was that he'd never seen Survivor before. So he thought it was literally about survival. So he thought there'd be 20 people.
He thought
people
it was the Hunger Games.
You know,
and that you'd
games,
really
exactly.
fight to the death?
20 people on the island and 19 of them would die. So I convinced my dad that I wasn't going to die. But, you know, ultimately I explained to him why I wanted to be on the show. And he understood. And after I won, it brought us closer together because he said something to me I'd never heard him say before. He said, "Yul, I'm sorry." And I'm like, "What? Like, who are you? Like, you're not my father, you know." And I asked him, "Why are you sorry?" And he said, "You know, I've always just kind of viewed you as this kind of kid who's trying to figure out what he wants to do and, you know, didn't really have it together. And then I saw you on the show and I'd seen what kind of man you'd grown up to become. And I was really proud of him. So I'm sorry that I doubted you." And I just lost it at that point. I just broke down. I was like, "God, I love you, Dad." You know, and really, it brought us closer together. So now my parents are very happy. They're especially happy that I'm now working for PBS as opposed to any more reality shows.
Well, to that end, though, do you feel that you and other, let's say, cultural workers mm-hmm. are making headway in what your stated objective, which is to try to expand the realm of possibility for people of Asian descent? And, you know, I don't mean to be hurtful to him, but a character like Ken Jeong, who portrays essentially, he's kind of played for laughs. I mean, he's both a Chinese gangster character in Hangover and is portrayed as an idiot. And
yeah.
So, but then there's also figures like Daniel Dae Kim,
right.
who is both gorgeous, smart,
yeah.
and so
amazingly
forth.
Articulate and sexy.
And you're the sexiest man
saying
alive.
It.
One of
no,
the sexiest men
no,
alive.
No. I think someone fell asleep on the watch.
Well, but you know, that's one of the other issues is, you know, Asian American men portrayed as like sexless.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Asian American women portrayed as all about sex and then
ultra sexy,
whereas Asian American men
eunuchs.
The opposite.
Right.
You know, do you feel like you're making some headway? Do you feel headway is being made,
I think so. I think in the last few years, we've really seen a proliferation of roles and talent from our community playing leading roles. And the fact that Survivor did this whole racial thing, you know, at first it was gimmicky, but the fact is, it did cast more people on the show. And I think the fact that we were able to show that you can have an Asian American who was in a major role on one of these television franchises and not have the ratings like fall off a cliff, I think proved the point. And so in the last few years, we've started seeing more people like Daniel Dae Kim playing roles that, you know, where they're speaking English from day one. People who, you know, take on roles like Ken Jeong does. I mean, a lot of people have criticized that within our community. And even Daniel Dae Kim, when he first took on the role of Jin in Lost, took some criticism because the perception was you're playing these roles that perpetuate these negative stereotypes. But what Daniel Dae Kim told me when he first took on that role was, look, I want to bring a level of craft and artistry to this role that no one else can. And in doing so, I want to create a narrative arc that allows this person to become a three-dimensional character. And that's exactly what he did on Lost. Over the arc of that whole series, he became one of the most popular characters in that show. And so I don't begrudge people who take on these stereotypical roles, because the reality is there aren't a lot of roles out there. But if you can use that as a basis for expanding the role so that people start seeing these roles as fully developed, realized human beings, then I think you've achieved something real.
Let's talk about your PBS show. You mentioned your parents are much happier about that. So let's talk about that. Just make sure the parents know that America Revealed, it's finished its 4-episode run earlier this month. The show focused on transportation, energy, manufacture, agriculture. You seem very excited about it.
It's a super cool show. I mean, it's hard to describe just by reading it or listening on the radio. But, you know, we use some amazing visual animation and aerial photography to show these systems coming alive in a way you've never seen before. So the idea is, like, you know, we're surrounded by all these massive systems that make life easy for us, but we don't really know how they work. You know, when you turn on the light switch, how does a light come on? When you order a pizza, like, where does that food come from? And so we use a lot of computer animation and interviews with people to show how these things all conspire to get you the things that you need when you need them.
What is next for you? I mean, what do you see for yourself?
You know, one of the reasons I want to host America Revealed is that, as far as I know, this is the first national show about America that's been hosted by an Asian American man. And it's interesting because even over the course of filming this, you know, I'd go to parts of the country and people would be sort of shocked that I was a host. And they'd ask me questions like, so, you know, where are you from? I'm like, well, I'm from D.C. Like, no, where are you really from? And then they would compliment me on speaking English so well. And then I told them, yeah, I've been, you know, cramming for a whole year. I hope it all paid off. But I still think, you know, there's this perception, especially for Asian Americans, that we're perpetual foreigners, that because we look different, people just assume that we're not American. And what I'd like to do is use media to get to a point where people just look at us as Americans as opposed to Asian Americans or African Americans or any other kind of subcategory. But first and foremost, we're Americans.
Yul Kwan is the host of Link TV's news program, Link Asia. And as he mentioned, he just finished hosting the PBS documentary series, America Revealed. And he was kind enough to join us here in our Washington, D.C. studios. Yul Kwan, thank you so much for speaking
with us. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.